You're listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show podcast, hosted by Joe Hunter on the Sound of Life at soundoflife.org.
And I want to share something with you. This is on Hollywood Boulevard. Yes, it happened last weekend. Pretty cool. It's worship. As they said, Los Angeles in history kind of known in Christian circles for the Azusa Street Revival, but now for the Hollywood Boulevard Revival, thousands of people right outside claiming Jesus. Wow, you can be there in spirit. Isn't it just a sweet aroma that it is? Wow, that is so cool.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show with Joe Hunter.
You're as funny as a cry for help.
The Sound of Life.
The following story contains a battle and gambling. Okay, still with me? All right, here we go. It's about a Japanese general named Nobunaga. He was going to war with only 1/10 of the number of soldiers as the enemy. He knew he could win the fight with a well-planned strategy, but his soldiers were doubtful. So on the way, this leader told the men, "I'm about to go pray for the battle. After I pray, I'm going to toss a coin. If the coin comes out heads, then we'll win. If tails, then we lose. Destiny holds us in her hand." That's what he said. Nobunaga then separated from the group to go pray. He came back. He tossed the coin in front of the troops. It was heads. The soldiers were filled with a tremendous sense of confidence and were eager to win the battle. And they did. His second in command approached him after the battle and said to him, "It's unbelievable that you were able to do that." And he said, "How did you know the outcome of the battle? You know, how did you do that?" He handed him the coin, which had heads on both sides, right? Yeah, see, he knew in life the only person that you're destined to become is the person that you decide to be. And Nobunaga went on to coach college football, I do believe.
A great way to start your day.
Go ahead. Make my day.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show. The Sound of Life.
I have to give you another warning. The following story contains images of Philadelphia fans. Now, when I say Philadelphia fans, you're probably thinking, oh, they're the meanest fans in sports. That's their reputation. They once threw snowballs at Santa Claus. That's what that had to be the lowest point of being a Philly fan, right? They're ruthless there, all right? Well, Philly fans did one of the most heartwarming things ever, and it really saved a player's season. Unbelievable. I may tear up, seriously, because when something like this happens in sports, this is exactly why I like sports, because nobody can get their hands in it and mess it up except money. But anyway, they still play because they love the game, right? And the fans treated it like that. Enter one Mr. Trey Turner. He's having the worst year of his life. He's gone from batting second to batting eighth. He hit rock bottom when he went 0-for-5 against the Marlins, dropped his average to the lowest it's been all year, and made an error that cost the Phillies the game, and he's been getting booed throughout the season. But, there's a lot of those in the Bible too, right? God used a man. Philadelphia legend, the Philly captain. That's what he's known as. He's got the website, everything. He made an announcement. Let's not boo Trey Turner. Let's give him a standing ovation every time he comes to bat. Well, the next night when he came to the plate, he got a massive standing ovation. He kept getting them. His third at bat, he hit an RBI single. The next day, he got even more standing ovations, and Turner responded. He hit a bomb. That's a good thing in baseball. The stadium went crazy. He gave the fans a curtain call. That's when you come out, tip your hat. Like, they're very rare in baseball to do that, but he did it. And they deserved it, really. He got standing ovations all weekend, and he played amazing. He even bought billboards around the city of Philadelphia to thank the fans. He had more home runs since the standing ovation started. That was 2 weeks ago than he had for 2 months. Wow. Do you see the lesson that we can learn from that?
Amen.
Can you? Yeah.
Amen. Your daily dose of encouragement.
I've got a smile on my face and a twinkle in my eye.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show. The sound of life.
School's about to start. Loving this post by a teacher, Joy. She's like, not in a good mood. Her career's over. I've made my mark. I'm done. We're lining up for lunch. Student gives me a hug. I immediately start joking. You looking for an A? You want a candy bar? She looks up at me and says, you're the reason I come to school.
The sound of life.
A hurricane tracker on my phone. Yep, it's on the way. It's expected to go from a 1 category to a 2 category, up to a 3 category. It's moving pretty fast across the Gulf there. It's supposed to hit well north of Tampa, into some names, well, south of Apalachicola. I just wanted to say Apalachicola. That's the reason I said kind of near where Gainesville is, a little bit north of there. Gainesville's inland, but it'll quickly turn to a Category 1. I've been very impressed as someone who's been in Orlando during a hurricane. They know exactly what to do. They don't get excited. Oh, man. They put plastic bags around all the lampposts, lights, and stuff. One of the things they did that was really cool, I don't know if I'd ever thought about it. They take the pool furniture, all that, the deck chairs and stuff, they put them in the pool. Pretty cool. Of course, then you get a lot of palm tree branches in there with it, but, you know, it's all got to be cleaned up. But it was, it was amazing how they know what to do. Here it comes, you know, boarding up the windows. So many other countries that you see that are ravaged by storms. The Philippines is one of them. Guam, places, they don't do that. They just do the best they can. And so we're very blessed in that regard. Today happens to be the anniversary of one of the worst natural disasters to ever hit the United States, and it was a hurricane. And I've seen the effects of it. I've been to New Orleans. It was Katrina, 2005, when that hit. Almost like judgment in some people's eyes, but I'm not going there. No, I'm not going to say that. Those things happen all the time. It was a very powerful hurricane. One of the things that you realize when you visit New Orleans, if you've been there, you know. I mean, the entire city is below sea level. Only one place, the French Quarter's above sea level. That was it. That was the original settlement by the natives. And maybe the French were there or something. That was it. You know, I mean, the water is unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. When you get up high on one of those bridges, you know, over the, you can look out and see. You've got the Gulf of Mexico to the south, of course. The Mississippi River winds its way south of the city. Lake Pontchartrain is a 30-mile diameter lake north of there. There is water everywhere. Of course, when the hurricane came in, I mean, water was 10 feet high in the neighborhood. 10 feet of water. The houses were just covered with water. So, a lot of things, a lot of mistakes were made. They always are. God was very evident in much of what was going on there. When I went, it was a couple of years after that. We went to work with Habitat for Humanity. Did a wonderful thing in Musicians Village. It was just a really great thing. It was pretty powerful. I just couldn't figure out why Pastor wanted to go in August. You go down there in August, that changed the way you talk. I'm telling you, I know what you're thinking of.
A great way to start your day. The Cup of Joe Morning Show.
Look, I'm a frequent coffee drinker. I'm part of the club. I have a card.
The sound of life.
So a hurricane in the Gulf of Mexico, pretty sure it's going to be like a Category 3 when it hits Florida, northern Florida, north of Tampa. So been there in Orlando when a hurricane came. It's not a big deal for them. I mean, this wasn't a huge hurricane. You know, obviously most of the storms are category 2, 3, and then they die out really quick. Today's the anniversary of Hurricane Katrina. I was in New Orleans a couple of years after that. We're doing some work as a, we were a church group. Maybe you were there because there were some people from the Hudson Valley there getting used to the heat. I mean, growing up in North Carolina was nothing like being in New Orleans. Amazing. I was in Hurricane Hugo. That's way back in 1989. Hurricane Hugo was a massive storm that hit Charleston, South Carolina. I was living outside of Charlotte in Monroe, and it was supposed to be like 45, 50 mile an hour winds, kind of tropical stormish, maybe with a lot of rain and stuff. To hit that afternoon the next day, well, it hit in the middle of the night, was 12 hours early, and it was a category, I don't know what, 1 or 2, 100 mile an hour winds. That is the most I've ever been in, and it is not fun. Trees everywhere. It was, I'm telling you, it'll test your faith. The thing about a hurricane is they're not over in, you know, a few minutes. They last hours and hours. It tests you. It's like, well, at first it's not so bad. Okay, we got, and then the wind picks up, and then the water starts coming, you know, and it's just, I mean, it is really, really something. But really great thing about going to New Orleans, through my friend Mike, I was able to meet a man named Smokey. That was his nickname, obviously. But this was in the Musician's Village that Habitat for Humanity was working on there in the Ninth Ward that was so devastated by it. It was just wiped out. They just cleared blocks out and just were making places to live. They were really nice. Smokey was he was an amazing guy. I actually did an interview with him. I think something happened to it here, but I wanted to get his catfish recipe. He was in a wheelchair when we met him then. Now, this is Hugo, so this is like 2007, so it's been a while. And he had a friend. They would sit there and watch black and white reruns all day on TV, you know, Lone Ranger and stuff, and fuss at each other. It was really a hoot. It was a great pleasure to meet him. He's not around anymore. But he was the drummer for B.B. King. And I thought, man, I got this guy's got some stories. And we always say, you know, I should have talked to him more, right? That's the thing. We always think, oh, man, if I could go back and sit on the front porch some more, talk anybody, veterans, granddad, uncles, you know, tell me about what happened and stuff. Wow. It was amazing. It was an amazing guy. One of the things he said that I never thought about before, here we are in August. He said, I never knew how hot it was in New Orleans in the summer. He said, I was never here. I was always out touring in Japan or someplace. I never knew how hot it was.
You've been listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show podcast on the Sound of Life, the Hudson Valley's 100% listener-funded Christian radio station. For more information on upcoming events, contests, to ask for prayer, and to become a member of the Sound of Life family by supporting the station, visit us at soundoflife.org.